working in our lives. As we incorporate that word, the Holy Spirit makes it come alive and releases the power that's, you know, this is not just a regular book. You understand that? It's a living word. And as we take it in, we partner with the Holy Spirit, and the promises and the very character of God that's revealed in His Word gets revealed in us. And so we, Elsa and I, if you don't know us, we do prison ministry, and we ended up switching our order around, didn't we, Elsa? Because we didn't want the men to miss the Word. And we value worship, but boy, I'll tell you, it's the Spirit and truth that changes us, and the Word of God is that truth. So I want to talk to you today about Resurrection Sunday, but the thing, I'm not going to hit this in every part, in all detail, but I want to talk to you about the inheritance that Jesus came into on Resurrection Sunday. There's just a rich, I'm looking for my glasses. Hold on a second here.
Are you also, John, are you
turning? Oh, am I on?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought I was on.
You might be. You're on. Okay.
I'm alive. Alive. Hello back there. We got Jesse in the back. He never sits in the back row. That's awesome.
He's going to be back there.
Yeah. All right, now I got my glasses. So I'm going to talk about the inheritance. And if, have we got the screen on? Okay. If we can get to Hebrew, or you can turn in your Bible. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to jump around for a few verses here. I've just been meditating on this for a while, and it's just so exciting. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we're going to look at these. It says, now I'm reading from the New International Version. And it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. So it says that Jesus inherited a name. Now, a while ago, I preached here and we talked about the name of Jesus. And I'll see if Jana was paying attention. What's the name Jesus in Hebrew, translated from Hebrew? Do you remember?
It's such in a. There somewhere.
I'm sorry. I should never pick on people, but Joshua. Remember, I picked on you because it hit you. But
Yeshua?
Yes.
The name Yeshua, right, is translated Joshua in Hebrew and Jesus in Greek. And the name Jesus was not, it wasn't like Jesus was the only one with that name. It was a common name in that time. So the name Jesus didn't have any special connotation. Okay, so how did they do for Jesus? They said, oh, is that Jesus of, all right, so they had to identify, because there were a lot of Jesuses walking around, and they weren't all claiming to be the Messiah. They were just regular people, all right? But it says here that Jesus inherited a name that was superior to all the names, any name of an angel, any name that you can think of. And He inherited. So let me ask you a question here, and I won't pick on anybody. I learned my lesson. What do you have to do to inherit something? What has to happen?
Somebody has to die.
There has to be a death, okay? And so when Jesus came, He identified our Heavenly Father as His Father. He was the first one to really speak that this is my Father. And that was one of the scandalous things that the Pharisees couldn't handle. It was that a human being was calling God His Father. But when He came, The only way he ever would identify himself was as the Son of Man. Okay? He always talked about that he was the Son of Man. And the Son of Man had to die before the Son of God could be revealed. All right? And this name that Jesus inherited is all wrapped up in him being the Son of God. And I just want to unpack that just a little bit. But why don't we look at another verse and it'll help us understand this. Well, no, let me go back a little bit. Because in Acts, just to qualify what I just said, in Acts chapter 13, 33, it talks about well, let me read it to you. I didn't give this to the crew back there, to Joe, but I just find this so fascinating. So in Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching, and he says, this is in verse 32, "And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers." That's to the all through the Old Testament. "God has fulfilled this for us, their children," that's the Old Testament ancestors, "in that he has raised up Jesus, and it's also written in the second Psalm that you are my son, today I have begotten you." So there was a day when God spoke over Jesus saying, "You're my son, today I've begotten you." And what the Holy Spirit speaks through Paul, he says that day was when Jesus was raised up from the dead. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't the Son of God before that, all right? But there was an inheritance that he came into. And we'll see that. Joe, if you want to put up Philippians there. This is a very familiar verse, but I want you to see this. He says, we got that up there? Oh, isn't he fast? He says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And so what we see here in the incarnation is that Jesus, what did Jesus do with his glory before he came? Right? He was God, you know, he was God, right? And what did he do with his glory? He laid it aside, all right? He came down here and clothed himself as a human being, right? So back then, he probably would have been about this tall, right? People, you ever been to Fort Ticonderoga? Anybody here? You ever seen the uniforms? What are they, kids, right? People were shorter back then, right? So he, while he wasn't very big, the Bible says he wasn't much to look at. There was nothing about him that would attract us to him. He wasn't real handsome, okay? But, so he clothed himself as a human being, but he had the Spirit of God was in his spirit, okay? So he limited himself by laying aside that glory. And so I don't want to get too far off here, but just so that we all know, did he use his own power to accomplish the miracles that he accomplished? No. Marlene's saying no, absolutely no, right? Because he never did a miracle until the Holy Spirit came on him. And so what he did as he walked on this earth was he lived a sinless life, but he lived out of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he made an example for all of us, because we're going to be talking about this as we do communion. What happened to all of our sins at the cross? Rolled away, right? All the burdens of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go. And so we become, in Christ, we become sinless. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You become sinless, and you have the ability to live out of the power of the Holy Spirit that's been placed in you, right? And so this is why the people around the early church, they started calling these people Christians, which means little Christ. That's what Christian means. They said, wait a minute, these people are living at just the same way that their Messiah lived. All right, little Christ. That's who we are. And but when Jesus came in that place, I want you to see this. He did not have all authority. I'm not trying to shock anybody here, but you need to realize he did not have all authority. He had the authority that God had given him. The demons had to listen to it. Sickness had to listen to it. Storms had to listen to it. But before he went to the cross, who else had authority on the earth? There was a prince of the power of the air, right, who had authority over the earth. And how do we know that he had authority? Because when he tempted Jesus, he said, he took Jesus up to a high mountain, showed him all the nations of the earth, and he said, I have authority over all these nations, and I'll give it to you if you'll worship me, right? Well, Jesus would have just, said, well, that's a lie if it weren't the truth, right? And so the truth was, when Adam and Eve sinned, the goal wasn't just for Adam, for Satan to just to wreck Adam and Eve's life. What Satan was after was the authority that God had placed upon human beings to have dominion over the earth. And so when Jesus came, he never said he had all authority. But when he rose from the dead, okay, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, also Saturday, doesn't look like a lot happened in the Easter story on Saturday, right? A lot happened on Saturday. The Bible says he went down into the lower region. He went down into hell. He preached the gospel to demons that were imprisoned all the way back from the time of Noah. He stormed the gates of hell. He took, and we just sang it, he took the keys of death. He took the keys of hell, right? Which means that he has authority over death. He has authority over hell. And he came up victorious today. This is why we get excited, isn't that right? That he won a victory today. And when he came back and he started talking to his disciples in Matthew 28, how much authority did he say he had?
All.
Say it really loud.
All.
How much authority does Satan have now?
None.
He says, all authority has been given unto me. And then in effect he says, and I
give it.
And I'm giving it to you. So let's all say, and he gave it to me. Can you say it?
He gave it to me.
He gave it to me. That name that he inherited, he had to defeat the authority of Satan and the power of sin in order for him to gain back the authority that had been. You see, when God speaks something, he says he's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't change his mind, right? So he can't. I was thinking of this. I don't want to get too far off the subject, but there's this old Robin Williams movie. And I don't remember the name of it, but for some reason, there's a hitman that's trying to kill Robin Williams, all right? And it just goes through all these hilarious things. But in this one scene, Robin Williams is behind a tree. The hitman's behind another tree, and they're shooting at each other, all right? And then Williams' character runs out of bullets, and he goes, he puts his head out, and he says, hey, I'm out of bullets. Can we just take a break here for a minute? Right? And, that didn't work very well. But you see, when Adam and Eve gave away their authority, for God could not just come and say, oh, we'll just do a redo here, right? When God gave authority to mankind, and it was given over to Satan, we had that authority to give it away. Adam and Eve had that authority to give it away. And even if they didn't know all that they were doing, they still did it. And God couldn't just come and say, redo, oh, let's just start from the scratch again. Because he's not a man that he would lie. He doesn't change his mind. And when he speaks his word is truth, right? It's final. And so that's why Jesus had to come to deal with the issue of sin and to deal with this whole matter of authority. And he gained that authority back for us. And then I don't know about you, but like if my kid wrecked my car when he was 16 years old, I'd probably be saying, well, I don't think I'm going to let you drive for a little while here. We're going to see if you're responsible or not, right? That's not what Jesus did. He trusted the presence of the Holy Spirit in this new race of people, these people that are born again. He trusted that, and he said, I am giving you that authority back. And with it comes the power of that name, the power of the name. Because now the name of Jesus isn't just, oh, well, there's what, Jesus over here, Jesus over here, Jesus over here. No, there is the name of Jesus. And it says in Philippians, every tongue has to confess. That means now. It's going to happen when Jesus returns, but it's happening now. That every tongue has to confess. Every knee has to bow. That means spiritually, Satan has to listen to the power of the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I don't know about you, but I am glad that he has regained all authority and it's wrapped up in the power of that name. So secondly, I want you to see this. We go to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. Psalm 2 is just an awesome psalm is for Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, it started with verse 7, today you've become my son. And then the next verse, he says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. So this is speaking to Jesus, right? When he comes into his inheritance, the Father says, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations. Do you understand? When God looks at a nation, he never just looks at a group of people. Elta went to a conference a long time ago, and this woman had died. She'd been dead for, her name was Betty Maltz. She was giving her testimony, and she'd been dead for 90 minutes, clinically dead, full of gangrene, just, right, it was gangrene, right? Yeah, and while she was dead, she went to heaven, and while she was in heaven, she was like in this big throne room, and she just saw these beams of light coming up from all different angles, and they were all prayers, and they were all coming up into the throne room, filling the throne room, prayers everywhere. And then she heard her dad's voice, and he just said Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Her dad just said Jesus. He was in the death, in the room where she had died, and he just yelled Jesus, and instantly she was back, and she was totally healed. And has a testimony. Her medical records were sent all around the world because nobody could explain what had happened. But the reason I'm sharing that story is the prayers that we send up, it's not like just one big volume. They're all individual. God hears every individual prayer. And when God said, when Jesus said, give me the nations, right? He wasn't thinking of America as a whole. He was thinking of you. In effect, what he was saying was, give me Elsa, give me Lorraine, give me Ken. You know, each one. His call is always personal. Isn't that right? It's always personal. He cares about the nation, but he sees the nation as individuals, right? And he's calling individuals.
Amen. John, this is pertinent. If I may give a testimony, because it's very pertinent.
Absolutely.
Okay. This was many years ago. I was driving home from work one evening. If anybody didn't know, I worked for 38 years at Rutland GE. And I was coming home one night, and there's a part on Route 7 before you turn on Route 103 that it's kind of a blind turn that kind of goes down a small grade. And I saw as I was heading south, you can see headlights from cars coming north in the other lane. And I saw the headlights, but I couldn't see anything until I got around this knoll to head down this long slope, and there was a car coming north in the southbound lane.
Oh boy.
And it was coming. I was doing between 65 and 70 miles an hour, as I always used to. And this car coming, and you stop and think, when two objects are coming at each other at high rates of speed, that if you were to impact, that speed doubles. Okay?
Right.
And so when I saw this car and I realized that it was in my lane, it was not only in the northbound, the southbound lane, but it was in my lane, not the passing lane. All I could tell for a split moment was I yelled out, "Sweet Jesus."
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I closed my eyes. I closed my eyes. Which was stupid.
Well.
And I remember turning the wheel this way to try to, thinking I'm going to get out of the way, but the guardrails are right here. And I don't know, to be honest, if this car went around me, if it went through me,
right.
Or what. But the next second I knew, it was gone, and I was still heading down the road. Yeah. many years since I gave it. Make it personal, and all we need to do is call out the name Jesus.
That's it. Amen. That's it. Because he said, "Father, give me Ken." And he said, "This isn't Ken's time." And if that sounds extreme to you, I know of two other testimonies where something very similar. My uncle was in Africa, and they were on a very narrow mountain road, and a bus was coming down, and there wasn't any place. And it's the exact same thing. God, just all of a sudden, the bus was on the other side of the road, on the other side of their car. And, you know, that is just awesome. God does stuff. Can you say it with me? God does stuff. Amen. So he asked for you. And what was he looking for when he asked for you? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says this, that Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So we all say hallelujah. That's Easter Sunday,
hallelujah.
Right? Right? That in all things that he might have preeminence. But it says he's the firstborn. So what's that mean if he's the firstborn? Got to be secondborn. Got to be thirdborn. Right?
Right, right?
When Jesus came into his inheritance, when he said, "Give me the nations for my inheritance," what he was looking for was a race of people that had never existed before. And that race of people, and again, I'm keeping Joe busy here, but in 1 John 3:1, it says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called," what? The say it loud with me.
Son.
What's one of the names of Jesus? He is the
Son of God.
And who are you?
The Son of God.
Okay. That's good news. That's shouting news, right?
Amen.
Some people say, put on your shouting shoes, all right? So what kind of people was God looking for when he said, "Give me the nations for my inheritance"? He was the forerunner of an entirely new race of people. He was the forerunner of a race that the Bible could, the only word they had for it was sons of God. That means that the power of God came, but through the Holy Spirit, comes to live. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we say this so many times, and it's like, yeah, I know this, yeah, I know this. I'm going to tell you right now, can we just really think about it?
Yes.
You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Who lives inside of you?
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
The power of God. When I first got saved, I was sitting in my car one day, and just drove into the driveway, and I was thinking about something, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he said, if you had... He mentioned the attributes of God, right? So the attributes of God are, he's omnipotent. Anybody know what that means? All powerful. He's omniscient. Knows all things, right? Omnipresent. He's everywhere, right? So I'm going to tell you, this is a test. If you have that much of God, how much power is there?
All.
All power. How much wisdom is there?
All.
All right? Now you don't get this much. You get the fullness, right? But if you felt like that's how much you've got it all. You've got it all. And when we're called sons of God in your spirit, right this moment, there is enough power to create a universe if God so chose to have you speak it. You could speak a universe into existence. Because how much power does it take to make a universe? No big deal. We got all power. Right? I'm going to tell you, that's the power that is, that when God said, give me, when Jesus said, give me my inheritance, he says, I'm calling out of the nations a new race of people. And these people will be filled to the fullness of the measure of God. It's in your spirit. It is not something you attain to. It was something that Jesus chose to give you. Right? The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, Jesus said, wait for the what? Anybody remember? Starts with a G. Wait for the gift of the Father, right? So what do you do to earn it?
Nothing.
What do you, how do you get it? You receive it, all right? Because it's part of the inheritance that Jesus died for. So, I don't know about you, that gets me excited.
Amen.
Let me just give you one more because I this kind of sums it all up. And I've been hitting it a little bit, but let's look at Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Jesus received an inheritance. What have we received if you're an heir? Oh, be bold. Inheritance. Right? You've received an inheritance, right? We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I want to qualify that last verse. Jesus never, you are joint heir with Christ. Jesus suffered on the earth. Did he suffer from sickness?
No.
No. You are not, sickness does not come from God. It doesn't qualify you to be more spiritual. God's not trying to work out something in your life through sickness. That's not the suffering it's talking about. He's not talking about lack, about poverty. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about depression and emotional problems. What the suffering that Jesus, what did Jesus suffer for? The gospel, right?
Amen.
And he suffered for you, right? Amen. He suffered for others, right? So we'll understand what that suffering talks about. But I want to look at that again. You have inherited, you are a co-heir with Christ. It doesn't say back then they had what primogenitor, you know what that means? It's like the firstborn inherits everything, right? That was the custom back then, right? This is revolutionary. He says, you are a co-heir with Christ. That means you get everything that Christ gets. And women too, absolutely, because there's no male nor female in this new race, okay? Thank you for bringing that up, because I meant to mention it. In this new race that Jesus inherited, all right, there's neither male nor female, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. That means there's no race line at all. There's neither slave nor free, which means there's, back then it would be literal slaves. Now it would be, we're prison ministry. You're bound in prison. Makes absolutely no difference. Absolutely no difference. Everyone is on the same playing field. Everyone is on the same level. And the guy that stands up here has no more authority than the person that's sitting in the very back there. You all got the same authority. Everybody's got the same authority. It's just, do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you use it? Right? And so this is what I want you to look at. You are an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. And this means that you have inherited his righteousness. For we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Right?
Amen.
Which means, how righteous is Christ? How righteous are you?
All.
Revolutionary. You don't have to earn it. He gave it to you. You have You have the authority of Christ. How much authority did he get?
All.
Oh, my goodness. He's given you his name. He said, from this time on, you're not going to ask me anything. You ask my Father in my name, right? So when you use the name of Jesus, it's, well, the best way that we do it is like a credit card, right? If you have a, I don't know, if Donald Trump gives you a credit card, okay, so it's got a high rate, high level on it, right? Higher than I would get, right? Is there anything special about what I've done? No, I was given the card. I can buy anything I want with it, right? Jesus giving you his name gives you his authority. It's not that we've done anything. It's just that out of his grace, he has given us his authority, and you can use it however you need to use it. His authority will work, just like that credit card will work, not because I earned the money, but because it was a free gift to me. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
That authority is powerful. So sometimes, you know, again, we talk about, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm not really feeling it right now, but I guess it's true. And sometimes we say, well, yeah, I pray in Jesus' name. Do you understand? When you pray in Jesus' name, you have direct access to the Father.
That's right.
Direct access. You don't go through, you don't have to, he said, you don't even go through me. Jesus says, you're not even going through me. You're going straight to the Father, straight to the throne of grace. And it's the name of Jesus that brings you into that place. And he says, oh, come timidly, thinking about your past.
No.
Is that what he says?
No.
He says, oh, remember all the things you've done wrong. And, oh, God, please, if you know, no. What's he say?
Come boldly
before the Lord. This new race of people has direct access to the Father. And we come boldly and we say, oh, Father, thank you for what Jesus has done. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. And thank you that I can obtain mercy in my time of need. That's what the Word of God says. Isn't that right? And it just, is the Father going to deny Jesus?
No.
Oh, we just have to preach this to ourselves over and over and over. The Father will never deny Jesus. And Jesus has given you his name, his righteousness, his relationship. You have the same relationship to the Father that Jesus has, because his Spirit lives inside of you. God is a Spirit. You have the same relationship with Jesus, with the Father, that Jesus has. He's given all of these things are because of the resurrection. I'm going to be done.
You're good.
But I want you to hear these. You've got the same power. We just talked about it. You have the same power that Jesus walked on the earth with, that he has right now. That same power is within you. And guess what? You have the same calling that Jesus has. Not to die on the cross for others, but to live your life for others. You have the same calling that Jesus has. So let me repeat that. You've got his righteousness. Can you say it with me? I have. Let's all say it. I have
his
righteousness.
Righteousness.
I have Jesus' authority.
I have Jesus' authority.
I have the same relationship with the Father.
I have the same relationship with the Father.
I have the same power.
I have the same power.
And I have the same calling.
I have the same calling.
Because when I came to the cross,
my old man died.
And I was raised up
in
Christ. And that's the truth.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Lord. So, Lord, we believe it. Can you say, I believe it?
I believe it.
And I receive it. That means I am going to act on it. Well, Father, right now, we again celebrate the things that we couldn't see happening on Saturday. But this is what you were laying the stage for as you disarmed hell, as you humiliated Satan, and as you rose victorious. And then you turned around and said, children, I won this all for you. It's all for you. It's all for you. The Holy Spirit, the only way this works is by revelation. And we just Can you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, Holy Spirit, I just received this. Lord, I received this. And I thank you for everything that Jesus did for me. Thank you, Lord. I give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to do a song. I think I did it backwards, but I did it backwards.
We're all right.
That's all right. This is a good time. This is a good time for a song.
Amen.
You get a preacher around a Bible and they forget everything else.